And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's fantastic, phenomenal, always fun, and usually somewhat fascinating Friday as we head into the weekend, not being afraid, even if the earth gives way or the mountains fall into the seas, because our help comes from the Lord. First, it's Friday, and that means it's time for Dr. Dave's devotional Diamonds of the Day. I have some classics lined up, and on Fridays, the show's direction sometimes goes a little bit differently. It seems sometimes that it is directed by the wind, so to speak, and we hope that that's always the case. Our first devotional diamond today is called Pick It Up. So what are we supposed to pick up in all our circumstances? Ha! When we face the enemy's flames, what should we pick up? We begin to understand that faith is not just pleasing to God, but also powerful for living our lives in victory. Next, what complements faith? Watch this. Talked about this yesterday. The power of prayer. Many people, including myself, often find ourselves distracted by the circumstances that we're focused on. Scripture doesn't instruct us to pray only at the beginning, only at the middle, or only at the end of something. On the contrary, Scripture makes it clear that we should pray during all phases. We examine three characteristics that should accompany our prayers as defined in the book of Ephesians. Ooh, that's cool. And then finally, we conclude this week's show with an in-depth review of death. While that might not sound like fun, especially for non-Christians, it can be daunting because the next step is significant for them and not pleasant. For Christians, understanding death means recognizing that one door opens into a land that we've been longing to enter. Unlike the world, which fears death, true Christian faith believers know it brings us one step closer to our King, our Savior, and our Lord. So you should say hallelujah.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations. Wow, that can be dangerous. Spiritual observations. My life's insanities and oy vey. So much more. Now remember, what is the one thing we tell you all the time? It's not professional radio. It's just, I mean, look, Jacob, I just want to ask you, Jacob, do you think that we are professional at what we do?
No, not even close.
Okay. I just want to make sure everybody knows we're all on the same page. Not a chance. What we're doing is the best we can to encourage one another, to strengthen one another, to bless one another. That's what we do. I'm just a brother in the Lord who's loving on you guys, and you guys are loving on me, and we're having some good fellowship through a radio show. It's like, that's cool. Right. What's wrong with that? Nothing. It's awesome. And the Lord is who we want to honor, right? We want to glorify the Lord in everything we're doing. So here's the deal. If you want to reach out to us, you can do that. There's three ways to do it. We try to make it pretty simple. You can email us, david@hemustincrease.org. That's david@hemustincrease.org. You can text us at 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can call us at 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. And when you make that call, why do you always repeat the number, Dave? New people. When you make that call, 972-445-0770, you'll end up talking to Jammin' Jacob. Talking to Jam and Jacob is like heading into the weekend. Are you excited?
Yay!
Yes, I am. Happy Friday, David.
Happy Friday. Do you have to work this weekend, by the way?
I do not.
Oh, well, congratulations to you. I do. I get to do a lot of packing.
Yes, you're set to have a very fun weekend, right?
I am going to sit there and go, boxes. Who doesn't love boxes? Anyway, moving on from there, I just want to make sure you understand why you can call, why you can text, or why you can email. And it's just simple. If you've got a praise report, share it. You got brothers and sisters in the Lord. Jesus said, when you pray, say this, our Father, not my Father, our Father. Okay? We have our Heavenly Father. We are blood relatives through the blood of Jesus Christ. We drink of one Holy Spirit. The unity is there. In fact, Scripture says, keep the unity, because the unity is in the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and we can keep that unity. So, look, as people of God, as the people of God, we want to bless, encourage, strengthen. If you've got a praise report, share it and bless your family. If you got a prayer request, let's pray about it. Let's take it to the Lord. The Bible says that we weep with those who weep and we rejoice with those who rejoice. Let's do it, because that's what a family does. By the way, by this shall all men know you are my disciples, by your love one for another. When we do the thing that the Lord has commanded us, which is to carry one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ, we are a witness. Who's listening? I don't know. I don't even care. Let's do what the Lord told us to do. He can coordinate all the other stuff, right? So that's another aspect. We can do praying together. Additionally, so you got praise reports, you got prayer requests. We do history. It's a little goofy. Well, we're goofy. We do jokes, which really I miss doing jokes a little bit. That's probably the thing I miss the most. We also do Bible trivia. Here's your next Bible trivia. See if you can get this. Here we go. All right, you know that John, from the last trivia question, wrote the book of Revelation. When he wrote the book of Revelation, he was in exile on what island? Was it Patmos, Crete, Clauda, or Hawaii? Revelation chapter 1, verse 9, by the way. Was it Patmos, Crete, Clauda, or Hawaii where John wrote the book of Revelation? If you think you know, 972-445-0770. You can also text 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. That's david@hemustincrease.org. Okay? All right. In the meantime, we're going to do our DNA, because we love DNA, and I like doing DNA, and DNA is fun. Here we go. D of DNA, our building blocks for what we are, stands for Draw Closer to the Lord.
Daily.
Just spend some time, separated time. You know, sometimes when you get up at night, I'm serious, when you get up at night and you're just like, you're up for like 10 or 15 minutes, like you're just like, well, what happened? You know what? Whether you stay in bed or get out of bed, you know what? Spend 5 minutes praying. 5 minutes. Talking to the Lord. Say, hey, just want to talk, just want to share. You will be amazed at how effective that is for you. But aside from that, every day, separated time from the Lord, separated from distractions. Like when Jesus went up to a mountain by himself to commune, that kind of distraction, that's the kind of stuff you got to get away from so that you're up there on the mountain. Talking to the Lord. Draw closer to the Lord daily, which tells you how often you should do it. Not how long, but how often. N, never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. And that's coming. It's getting worse. It's getting worse in society. It's getting worse in the media. It's getting worse in Hollywood. It's getting worse in academia. It's getting worse in the government. It's getting worse. They want to shame you in standing firm in the Word of God. Never be ashamed of the Word of God, no matter what they say or do. None of them have a heaven to put you in, and it doesn't matter, because cultures change, governments change, countries change, things change all the time, but the truth never changes. Get that? That's the N of DNA. Never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. And then A, always be ready
To serve.
To serve. So it's not that we're doing all that stuff so we can be obnoxious. Okay? That's not the goal. In fact, if you look around in the world, there just seems to be this huge amount or bountiful amount of people that are being obnoxious. It's just like, wow. Don't do that. Reflect Jesus. Jesus came to serve. He did not come to be served. Be that person. Be the person who says, I'll do it. Be that person that says, here am I, use me. Ready to serve, Lord, to whoever it is in whatever capacity you desire. So D, draw closer to the Lord daily. N, never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. A, always be ready to serve. There you go. Here's your trivia question again that we're going to go into our DDD. We might get a lot of teaching in today, so I'm kind of excited. DDD, here it is. John wrote the book of Revelation. We found that out in the last trivia question, plus in Revelation 1:4. Oh, while he was in exile, but what island was he on? Was he on Patmos, Crete, Clauda, or Hawaii? Revelation chapter 1, verse 9 is where you would get that answer. You can call 972-445-0770. You can also text 214-210-8483. Additionally, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. Okay? These are all things that you can do. By the way, if you want that book, this is the last day to get it, the book that was written by Pastor Robert Morris, Grace Period, that book, Living in the Amazing Reality of Jesus's Finished Work. That's a cool thing right there. All right, do we have somebody that's ready to answer the trivia question? They might be getting the book. I don't know. Well, are they ready? They are ready. Let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is Bobby. I'm out here in Climax, Texas.
How you doing, brother? How's it going?
Oh, it's going great. I'm sitting out here enjoying the weather, listening to you on the radio.
Oh, so what a blessing. Isn't the weather nice today? It's so nice, huh?
It is. My geese are just walking around so happy.
That's so cool. That is totally awesome. I love that. All right, that's great.
I will tell you what the ducks are doing, but it's not suitable for radio.
Okay, yeah, let's keep that one off. That's so funny, man. That's hilarious. Oh, that's great. All right, let me do this trivia question. I'll set it up for you, and then you hit it out for me, okay? All right, here we go.
Okay.
He wrote the book of Revelation while in exile, but what island was John on? Was he on Patmos, Crete, Clauda, or Hawaii?
I'll pick A, Patmos.
That is correct, Amundo! He was on the island of Patmos. So they put him over there. They said, we can't kill this guy. This guy's just lasting forever. Just stick him on an island somewhere. That's what they did.
That was it.
I
heard they dipped him in oil, and he kept preaching all the time. He was dipped in boiling oil, and they finally just shipped him out to Patmos to get rid of him.
They stuck him in Patmos, and they said, he can't do anything there. And God said, watch this.
Yeah. Well, you have a good day. God bless you. I still enjoy your show, even though I don't call in much.
Oh, that's all right, brother. I appreciate that you enjoy it and that it's a blessing. Thank you so much for that.
All right. You have a good day. God bless everybody.
Bye-bye,
brother.
Thank
you.
Bye. You can hear his dog right there in the background. All right, let me do this. Ephesians 6:16. All right, listen. I'm going to do this because I'm going to teach this. I don't care. Just listen. Ephesians 6:16. In all circumstances. Stop. How many is all? I don't know. I think it's a lot of them. Okay, that's me. Okay. Ready? All right. In all circumstances. How many? All. How many is all? It's just a lot of them or all of them. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. What? So in all circumstances, I don't have to, I didn't write it. People are like, no. It's like, no, this is what it says. People are like, well, it doesn't mean in all. Okay, so 2 + 2 is not 4. Okay. Anyway, in all circumstances, lift the shield of faith. Use faith in every situation, good, bad, or indifferent. Lift up the shield. Pick it up. When you're facing something, pick up the shield of faith. Pick it up. It's an important process because Satan hates you. Oh, it's awesome that God loves you and you know you're going to win. You've read the end of the book. We win. But between now and then, there's a lot of mopping up to do, and the enemy wants to do anything he can to discourage. It's the only thing he's alive for, the only reason he exists. God could have terminated him on the spot, but the Lord's more Jewish than people think, and he doesn't throw anything out. Anyway, the point of this is lift up faith. Pick it up. Well, the situation's not that bad. Doesn't matter. Pick it up anyway, because if the enemy attacks you and you have your shield of faith up, you'll stop the darts. And you know, I think the picture, the imagery that I always think of when I think of this is I think of us having this shield of faith, and faith to me is like a water shield. It's like a shield, but it's made of this really cool divine water. So when the enemy throws a flaming dart, which is something that can stick you and that has fire on it, it gets quenched by the water shield. Like, cool. We need the water shield. We need to extinguish the flames, and it stops the dart from coming through. And remember, the evil one, it says this. It says, in all circumstances, take up the shield with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. The evil one, it's not a concept. It's not evil is some kind of existent thought, philosophical, whatever. He's a being. It's Satan. It's the enemy. It's the evil one. And it's like, we got to take that down. We got to take him down a step. So here the Lord goes, here's a weapon to do that. And what are too many of us Christians doing?
Well, I don't need to pick it up.
What is wrong with you? What is wrong with me? Pick it up. Use faith in all of the situations. Because that's what the scriptures teach us to do. Oh, we should do that then. Good idea. Good. Very good. Okay. All right, we'll take a break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
I was driving down I-30 yesterday, and it was stop-and-go traffic. There's, I guess, an accident up ahead. So I was putting along at 20 miles an hour, 15 miles an hour, and this little sports car would speed up and get right beside me, and then he'd fall back. You know, just kind of we're shuffling back and forth. He'd go and I'd go and he'd go and I'd go. And I just was watching out of the corner of my eye and just kind of mindlessly driving at 20 miles an hour. And then all of a sudden, I hear this little beep, 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 beep. And I said, uh-oh, what did I do? And I looked out of the corner of my eye and he drove right up next to me. He had his windows rolled down and he gave me a big old thumbs up. And I said, what's he giving me a thumbs up for? I was kind of expecting, when you have somebody honking at you, you're expecting something else, you know? And then I realized I have that bumper sticker on yours God created the universe. He can write a book. And then he just sped off. He slowly drove off at 20 miles an hour. But I just thought that was neat. That's the first time that anybody's really gives a thumbs up for a bumper sticker. Usually people that have bumper stickers, it's to hold their bumper on their car. But
I just wanted
to share that story.
That is an awesome story. First of all, it's really good that he gave you a thumbs up and didn't use any other fingers. So let's just say that's for sure. And then the other part about that is that that's cool because whether he's listening to the show or not, he agrees with you, knows that that's true. Hey, look, God created the universe. The dude can write a book. Let's just get that. Well, let's get that squared away, you know?
Yes. And you know what? He might be listening to the story, to the radio now.
That's exactly right. What a blessing. That's cool. And we do have those bumper stickers. So now we only have so many, but we're going to do an ambassador program, and that'll give people an opportunity to put the bumper sticker on their car if they want to. And nobody wants you to do anything to your car you don't want to. But I really, really appreciate you sharing that story. And that is a great story. And see, every time we're on traffic, we think something bad's going to happen. Instead, hey, there was something good that happened. Somebody standing with you in the faith, perhaps a fellow listener saying, right on. Just right. That's the right target. I bet that blessed you at the moment, didn't it?
It sure did.
Yeah.
It sure did.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's a great story. I mean, I love that. Oh, good job. Good job in being an ambassador just by sharing that bumper sticker and just by proclaiming the truth. Some people will read that and they might go, I don't know, but it sure challenges a lot of people, doesn't it? It's like, you got to think that through, don't you?
The David Spoon Experience.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. I love days like today. I love when the show's just like fun, and but then we get teachings in, and they get calls and stuff. I just this is like the best. This is like awesome. It's like awesome sauce. Thanks. Let's get our next trivia question. So now the first two were a little easier. Did you like how I said that? They were a little easier. This one is a little tougher. Okay? And then the one after that's going to be even tougher. Ready? This is still in Revelation. We're in Revelation chapter 1. Your reference point is verse 16. What did Jesus have in his right hand when he first appeared in Revelation? Did he have seven candlesticks, seven stars, a two-edged sword, or did he have the Word of God? What did Jesus have in his right hand when he first appeared in Revelation? Seven candlesticks, seven stars, a two-edged sword, or the Word of God? Your answer is in Revelation 1:16. If you think you know the answer, you are welcome to call us 972-445-0770. You can also, by the way, text in 214-210-8483. Additionally, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. So what did Jesus have in his right hand when he first appeared in Revelation? Seven candlesticks, seven stars, a two-edged sword, or the Word of God? There it is. I'll give you the chance to answer. In the meantime, while you're trying to figure that out, and before we get into the teaching, I have a couple of jokes. Ha ha! Ha ha ha! Ha! Okay. Now, I will tell you that two of these are good and two of these are marginal. Is that good? That's a great way to say that. They're marginal. Okay, here you go. What has neither flesh nor bone, but has four fingers and a thumb? What has neither flesh nor bone, but has four fingers and a thumb? Ready? A glove. See? A glove. See? Okay, that got shot down. Okay, fine. What goes up but never comes down? What goes up but never comes down? You know how they always say, what goes up must come down? What goes up but never comes down? Your age. Ha ha! That's a good one. Why are Saturday and Sunday so strong? Because the rest are weekdays. There you go. See? When I get two out of three, I'm happy. If I was in baseball and I hit two out of three, that'd be over 600%. I'd be making $10 billion a year. You got to be happy with stuff. All right, here we go. So we do have somebody, I think, that's on the phone. They might be getting the book or answering the trivia question. The trivia question, what did Jesus have in his right hand when he first appeared in Revelation? So Revelation 1:16 is your key point. Was it seven candlesticks, seven stars, a two-edged sword, or the Word of God? Is somebody ready to answer a trivia question? They are. Let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is Don. How are you, brother?
I'm doing wonderful, Don. How are you doing today?
Well, I'm doing good. I'm making food for our Bible study for Sunday.
Are you making cookies?
Not this time, but I tell you what, I'm not going to do the cakes anymore. I don't know how to ice cakes very well.
Okay.
It takes me a long time to make them look good. How embarrassing. I make good cakes, but cookies, you know, I thought cakes would be easier, but you know what? They're really not.
Tried to take the easy route, right?
That's right.
That's hilarious. That is so funny, yeah, brother. That is awesome. All right. Let me set you up on the question, and then you can answer it, okay? And you know one way or another you're getting there, but let's try and get there now. What did Jesus have in his right hand when he first appeared in Revelation? 7 candlesticks, 7 stars, a two-edged sword, or the word of God?
Well, I'm going to tell you, Revelation is one of my favorite chapters. But I remember seeing it was a picture. It was kind of a real artistic picture of Christ holding the stars.
That is correct, Amanda! And a side note, so I think this is important because we're going to be teaching in the book of Revelation in about 6 weeks. We're going to start our Revelation study, which
All
will
right.
blow people out because it's not going to just do one point of view because I'm a manifold millennialist, which means I love all the points of view, and people don't have to like that, but you're going to learn one way or another. Jesus is, he's got the 7 stars in his hand, and he is in between the 7 candlesticks, and the 7 candlesticks represent the churches. So where is Jesus? He's in the middle of the churches. That's where he is. There you go. That's what you got to
remember. Our church, not too many churches teach Revelation. Our church does all the time. But I was I don't know if I could say on air what kind of church.
Well, you probably don't have to. You probably don't have to. But just let's say Chosen Frozen.
Yeah, there you go. I love that. Yeah. I don't know. They just never really talk very much about Revelation.
It's amazing. There's so much material to teach. It's like it's about.
I know. You. I've been through it so many times for 17 years, but I tell you what, you learn something
every time, right? Every single time. And I promise when we go through this, you're going to hear primarily 2 points of view, but you'll hear me scatter in these other points of view. And it's so cool. It's not that it's bad. It's awesome. I don't care which one you pick. You just got to follow every one of these. Encourages the people of God. Like, how cool is that?
That's right, brother.
That's the whole thing.
Thank you so much for your show. I tell you what, this one show, I make sure I listen to it all the time. And I don't want to call in, but, I thought, it's Friday. Maybe people are not, busy. I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, all right, brother. Have a good weekend. God bless you.
You too, my brother. God bless.
Bye-bye.
All right, let me get into – so we did the jokes and we did the trivia. Let me do the teaching. I'm still going to pull this teaching off. I'm just rolling on this. This is too much fun today. All right, listen, this is cool. So you know how we just talked about pick up the shield of faith? That's cool, right? I mean, it is because you pick up – remember, it's a water shield. So when the devil, the enemy throws flaming darts, okay? Wait, Eric wants to know, what's the chosen frozen? That means that they're chosen but a little frozen. That's what it means. We won't tell about which. They just kind of like, anyway, let me go back to this. So Ephesians 6, 18 through 19. This is what it says. And listen to this. Because we just covered, in all circumstances, pick up the shield of faith. Now watch this. 2 verses later. So you have to know this is congruent. They're connected. This is context. Ephesians 6, 18 and 19. So we just heard, in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith. Watch this. Ephesians 6, 18 and 19. Praying at all times. But didn't we just have pickups and circumstances pick up faith? Yes. And what goes really well with faith? Praying. See, this is how that works. You don't just have faith. I have faith. If you have faith, talk to God. That's part of that process. So he says praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, the scripture says, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for the saints and also for me, that words may be given me and opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel. So there's so much here, but I'm going to teach it. And even if we run late, it doesn't matter. Here's what it says. It says this, praying at all times. How often should you pray? All the time. Shouldn't we just pray at the beginning? No. In the middle? No. At the end? No. All of it. The beginning, the middle, and the end. The before, the after, the during. All of it. You don't just pray at the end going, oh, I messed this up. I need help now. That's not good. In fact, not to pray in the beginning of something is ridiculous. Just think about Jonah, who was getting swallowed by the fish and stayed in that fish for 3 days before he either came conscious or whatever. But the point is, when the fish was eating him, that was the time to pray. You pray in the beginning. You pray in the middle. You pray at the end. And so we're supposed to pray in the Spirit. So there's a couple interpretations here. We're not going to go deep into it. But if you're not fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit, 2 Corinthians 13:14, you're certainly not going to know how to pray in the Spirit. Some people say, well, that's Spirit, that's being real, that's being genuine. That's not what the Greek says. That's just a nice interpretation. You are supposed to pray to the Father in the name of the Son with help from the Holy Spirit. Yes, the Holy Spirit prays for you with words that cannot be uttered. So that is not tongues. It's words that cannot be uttered. That's the whole point. The Spirit is praying inside with groanings and for you, but you're supposed to be in concert, walking in step, is what the Scripture says, with the Spirit. And then it says, with all prayer and supplication. So I want you to catch this. This is huge. Supplication is a passionate, specific request. So what does that mean? That means when you pray for something and it's a little more broad or general, it's more like, what's the word we're looking for? It's more, and B, don't get offended. I'm trying to use an illustration that can help you, but it's more like the effect of a shotgun. It goes kind of all over, right? That's general prayer. Supplication is like a sniper. It's like very specific, very pinpointed. And that's different. So those are different elements of prayer. So we're supposed to do this. We're supposed to that end, keep alert, which means watch and pray. Jesus never said pray and watch. He said watch and pray. So you bring the Lord into whatever it is you're observing. You do it with perseverance, which means you don't quit. How many times do we got to pray? Who cares? I don't know. How often do you have to breathe? Okay, that many times. So you, with perseverance, and then you make supplications, passionate, specific requests. And then he says this, which is a mind blower. For all the saints, which means not just the ones you agree with. So we're talking about revelation. There'll be different points of view. You don't just pray for the people who are just like you. You pray for all the saints, all the people of God, the elect. Are they all like you? No. 12 tribes, one Israel. And the church is referenced as a body, so imagine how many parts are in that, right? There's more than 12 parts, if you catch my drift. And then he says this, and I want to bring this up because I do this, and I do this because of things like this. He says this, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication, to that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for the saints and also for me, that words may be given me and opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel. Paul asks for prayer for himself. It's fine. Wait, let me rephrase this. It's biblical to ask for prayer for yourself. Do you understand? He needed prayer for his ministry, for his life. That's great. That's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. And it's demonstrated right here in Ephesians 6:18-19. So we need to keep alert. We need to pray with perseverance. We don't quit. Make supplication, passionately, specifically requesting for all the saints. And then Paul's like, I need prayer. And you hear me say, I need you guys. If you can't give, pray for me. That's what that is right there. Isn't that cool? I love stuff like this. Okay, we'll take our break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Since the dawn of the internet, people have been looking for a website they can be proud of without costing an arm or a leg. People want a quality website to promote their ministry, business, hobby, or passion. Introducing Cowpunch Sites. Cowpunch Sites can help you create and maintain a quality website. From design to security, Cowpunch does it all. Cowpunch is a family-owned and operated business, taking a fresh approach to business. Lots of clients at lower prices. Make mom happy.
The most significant benefit of working with Cowpunch Sites is that you work with real people, not cheesy templates. No outsourcing. It's $57 a month, and there's no setup fee and no cancellation fees. When you go to cowpunchsites.com/dad. That's cowpunchsites.com/dad. That's me. Oh, did I mention that it's $57 a month? Cowpunch sites, $57 a month, and that's no bull.
Dave, this is a nice radio station.
Oops, sorry. That's Cowpunch sites, $57 a month, and that's no bull-oney. There, that's better. Cowpunchsites.com/dad. A couple things I think we'll open up with. I've decided to open up with a story that I wasn't going to open up with because it's such an outrageous story, but it's not an outrageously super bad story. It's an outrageously super dumb story. There's a big difference. Bad is when I tell you, which I'll be telling you probably in the next segment, how the federal government is creating a database to track down hate speech as they define it.
That's bad.
We'll talk about that a little bit. This is dumb, but it's funny dumb. Dumb, ha-ha, funny, but not entirely. Get this. Now, I'm holding a picture in my hands. You can't see it. But there are four monkeys in this picture that I'm holding. And the headline reads this: millions in taxpayer money used to study drunken monkeys. No, really, drunken monkeys. And you're thinking, no, you're making that up. Nope. Federal government reportedly has spent $3.2 million so far in order to get monkeys drunk in order to study the effect of alcohol on the monkeys. I don't know. See, I don't know where you're even going to go. Where are you going to go with this?
I'm going nowhere, Dave.
I got nothing to say. There's no comment that anybody can make.
The David Spoon Experience.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. And I do want you to know that you are going to be sent to the website early. We do have somebody on the line, so we're going to bring them in a second. But I want to send you up to the website and give you a chance for a couple of things. One, on the website is the new book. It's just a book on faith. I make $1.03 a book. Okay? I don't get all excited about that. That's not anything to be excited about. But the book will really encourage your faith. And that's really what's good. Plus, if you can't afford the book, you tell me and we will buy it for you and get it to you. So it doesn't cost anything. Okay? That's just how we've been doing that ever since we've been doing all this stuff. That's how we do it. We want you to check that out. Plus, on the website is a place to give. If you can give, great. If you can't, then pray for us, just like we talked about in the last segment. Check it out on the website, hemustincrease.org.
Prayer request?
Hemustincrease.org.
Praise report?
Hemustincrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
Hemustincrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
Hemustincrease.org.
Hemustincrease.org.
Okay, are there any questions? Yes.
Where's the basement?
Excuse me?
Aren't we going to see the basement?
There's no basement at the Alamo.
That's right. There's no basement at the Alamo. Okay, we do have somebody that's on the line. Let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hi, David. This is Roslyn.
Hi, Roslyn. How are you?
I'm waiting expectantly on the Lord, like it says in Psalms.
That's great. That's great. Not only does it teach you patience, but it teaches you patience. Oh, that's hilarious. Oh, that's good that you're doing that. How are you doing? What can we do for you?
Well, I'm calling to ask for a prayer, please.
Yes.
On two things. And the first is we've got, again, that legal settlement conference coming up on Tuesday at 10:30. And when we tried it in the past, you know, there are certain things that each side is supposed to come prepared with and to do. And I don't really think they ever actually did it previously. And this time it looks like maybe they took at least one step in the right direction. So I'm hopeful that maybe this can all get resolved. That's the prayer. Just whatever. I just want God to show up and take charge.
Got it. That's a great prayer,
Tuesday.
By the way. That's
And then the second thing, it's really a scarier thing. And some people might think I'm crazy or we're crazy, but it's really true. I think you'll know. So Robert has been having these dreams lately. He didn't tell me until just recently, but he's been having these dreams where he's been physically assaulted. Like in one, he was actually being strangled by like demons, and I would hear him making noises, and I'd wake him up. You're just having a bad dream, and he finally told me that the last two times this happened, once he woke up, he actually saw a demon in the bedroom with us. And the last two times he said that this demon was looking intently at me. So I think in prior times, I guess when he would wake up, he would see the demon there looking at him or both of us. And so he was praying and casting him out. But I would really just ask a prayer for protection for both of us.
Okay. Now, let me go over a couple of things that will help you guys right off the bat. First of all, no demon can do anything that is outside of the realm of God's permissibles. Okay? So you have to understand that. Doesn't matter how scary it seems, Satan could not touch Job without God's permission. And then Jesus also notified Peter that Satan asked to touch him, to ask to sift him like wheat. So he has to ask permission to get into that place. You need to understand that before it's as much of a fear thing, it's much more important to understand that what the Lord allows, he allows for reasons. Just like I had mentioned earlier in the show, the Lord could have annihilated Satan on the spot, instead he used him. So you have to realize that God is going to allow things for purposes. But having said that, we are engaged in spiritual warfare, and the Lord is not just reminding you, but showing you and Robert, you're in spiritual warfare. When a demon is trying to afflict inside of a home, okay, that people say, well, that must mean there's something going on there. Here's the thing that's going on. The demon is trying to instill fear, be distractive, and do everything and anything to get your focus off of the Lord. That's the goal that Satan does in everything, to challenge God, to try to become equal with God, and all stuff like that. So the first thing I'm going to tell you from a very practical point of view, which most people will freak out when I say it, but I don't care. This is what you and Robert need to do. Listen to me. You need to play more worship music in your home. You need to have that more in the atmosphere, because when Saul was afflicted by a spirit, David played the harp. What kind of music did David play? Well, why don't you read 150 of his songs in the Psalms, and you'll know what kind of music he played. And that drove that spirit out. And so worship is a very powerful tool in spiritual warfare. Okay, so I want you to be aware of that. That's a practical thing. We're going to pray, okay? So we're going to pray for you, so don't misunderstand. But I'm giving you something that's exceedingly practical whenever warfare increases. So Noel and I have had similar experiences, and they didn't last any particular long time, but there was a season, and then one time, and I don't want to get into that, but one time it was much more progressive than other times. And ironically, I got up and turned the TV on, and for whatever reason, because it's never happened before, it landed on E.V. Hill preaching about the power of God over evil. So I just sat there and listened, right? And it was like, oh, that's good timing, right? So I'm just saying, so you can understand that there is spiritual warfare. Some people are like, well, that can't happen. You never tell God what can and cannot happen. The Lord allowed Job to go through tremendous affliction for a completely different reason that Job had no idea what was going on. Okay, that's what's really the entity of the book of Job, which is why we taught it. So we're going to pray for that. I want you to be aware that it's better than you know, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And that the scripture is very clear in James 4:7. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee. He doesn't have a choice when you take your ground and when you stand. Some people think it's a great idea to engage in some kind of conversation. It's the dumbest thing ever. Here's because when Adam and Eve did that, look what that led to. Michael the archangel, when dealing with Satan, said what? The Lord rebuke you, Satan. If that was good enough for Michael the archangel, it's good enough for you and me. You don't have to, you know, get into this long, drawn-out anything. You simply say what the Scripture has shown before you. Jesus even said, get away from me. It's like those are all permissibles because they're in the book. So you use those because they're there before you in the book. You see what I'm saying? The Lord's like, here, look at this, look at this. So these are things you need to do. So we're going to pray for your court case, but we want to pray that your house has a sanctification level, a dedication, devotional level. And it could be for any number of reasons. Anybody guessing it, it's just that's all you're doing is guessing. What you do is you come closer to the Lord, and the more you submit to him, submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil and he will flee. The reason that Satan flees is because you're in submission to God and he cannot win. So that's where the knowledge of the truth comes into play. And remember, he's the father of lies. So what is it that defeats a lie but the truth?
The truth.
That's right. So have a lot of the truth going on. Have a lot of worship going on. Change the atmosphere. Remember what Jesus did when he was going to do that healing for that little girl? They said, she's dead. She's like, she's not dead. She's asleep. They're like, no, no, no. Jesus kicked them all out of the house because they had the wrong attitude going on. He cleared the air and changed it. Then he did the miracle. So it's like, yeah, okay, so you want to have that going on as part of your practicals. You see what I'm saying? Like that's a functional tool that you can operate with. Make sure that you're very keeping yourself submitted to the Lord. Make sure your atmosphere is right. That's how you have warfare. And then you pray because you are not going to physically defeat the spirit. You're going to stand in the authority that comes from Jesus Christ. Jesus will defeat the enemy. You are a vessel by which that's going to take place by calling on the name of the Lord. Does that make sense?
That makes sense.
Okay, let me pray over you, okay? All right.
Okay, thank you.
Let's pray. Father, we come before you right now. We come before you in the name of Jesus. And Lord, the court case that they're going through, that's, Lord, they just need, again, just like with Joanne, they just need the righteousness of your justice to be declared. They're not looking to get something they shouldn't get. They're not looking for anything like that. They're looking for it to be right. And we're asking for the justice of your wisdom, your power, your declarations to be manifest in their situation. They don't want what what you don't want them to have. They simply want it to be right. So we ask you to help them in that process. Let them not be intimidated or overly disappointed, any of those things. Let them be strong in knowing that you are with them. And Lord, when you're with us, we are the majority because you are the majority, and that's what counts. So we ask you just to give them a great comfort for their court cases coming up on Tuesday. And Lord, for the warfare that's taking place in their home, and some people are having a hard time with it. I know, Lord. I know how that goes. Here's the thing, Lord. More of you is always the answer. Everybody knows the truth is that more of you resolves issues. And specifically in spiritual warfare, as you've told us to take on the armor in Ephesians 6, and that they need to pick up the shield of faith, that waterboard shield that knocks down the fiery darts, not to be intimidated by the enemy, but to stand firm and to acknowledge you and worship you, and that your presence would overwhelm that home, that dwelling, and that would be a house sanctified to your glory, and in that they would find and see and live in the freedom and deliverance that comes in the name of Jesus Christ. So we're asking for grace upon grace upon grace, protection, Lord, safety, wisdom, and we come against the spirit of fear, and we just simply quote your word, Lord, 2 Timothy 1:7, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. So give that to both Robert and Rosalind as they're engaging in this, and let them walk with you hand in hand. We pray that in the name and authority and the power of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you, David.
You are more than welcome. And listen, you keep me posted, you and Robert. You know you can text me anytime and let me know what's going on, okay? All right.
Okay. Yes, thank you so much. All and right. I'm so excited for your move.
Well, I'm excited for the day after.
Well, we're praying for you and for everybody.
Thank you. God
okay,
bless
have
you.
A great weekend. Try to rest a little bit. Thank
okay.
you so much.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
All right. Now, here's how when the Lord takes over something and you can't figure it out. So I have my last teaching, right? we're going to do the last thing. Nothing else we're doing. Just forget everything else. It's all gone. Doesn't matter, right? You guys there? We got about 7 minutes left. I got to get this last teaching in. I can't even do the other teaching, but this is the teaching I want you to hear. Listen to this. Because you're hearing about spiritual warfare. We're talking about the enemy. And I have this passage right in front of me that I had Jennifer print out for me before the show started. She'll testify before, you know, Congress and everybody else. Listen to what this portion is. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 55 through 58. This DDD is entitled, Knowing Death Will Die. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? Verse 56, the sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. Verse 57, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. So let's talk about this so we can understand what's going on. Because we have the victory over death, because of Jesus, how should we be? How should we function? So before we go anywhere past this, let me read to you Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 and 15, and then we'll go back to it. Because God's children are human beings made of flesh and blood, the Son also became flesh and blood. For only as a human being could he die, and only by dying could he break the power of the devil who had the power of death. Only in this way could he set free all who have lived their lives as slaves to the fear of dying. This is what I had Jennifer print up. This passage in Hebrews 2, 14 and 15 teaches us that Jesus became one of us. Being one of us, he died unjustly, remember? And so by dying, he broke the power of the devil. What? And in this way, all who have lived their lives as slaves to the fear of dying, that power was broken. Did you get that? The fear of broken. The fear broken. Why? God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. So you don't have to be afraid. Well, the enemy, he doesn't like you. Yeah, but he's limited. He's restricted. I'll put it this way. And people don't like us. Too bad. He's on a leash. And God's the one who's holding the leash. Now, why does the Lord allow that? Because he's got purposes that are beyond you and me. So as the people of God, how should we understand this victory over death? How should we be? The scripture says we should be steadfast, immovable, and abounding in his work. Steadfast means persistent, dedicated, and unswerving. Did you hear what I said? To be steadfast in the Lord is to be persistent, dedicated, and unswerving. To be immovable means to be steady, secure, and permanent. This is not you're a permanent Christian. You're not a part-time Christian. It's full-time, all the time, 24/7, 365. You are a follower of Jesus Christ. So you're steadfast, you're persistent, dedicated, and unswerving. You're immovable, which means steady, secure, and permanent, and you're abounding in his work. Why? because it's the only thing we're doing that's not a complete waste of time. What we're doing in the Lord. So 58 says, therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Why? Because it goes with you into eternity. It's being done in the Lord. It's eternal. That is how we should be approaching things. And I know it's like, whoa, that's death. I know. I've seen a ton of it. I've seen from the early, from 5 years old to 55, I've seen maybe 25 people pass. It's just a lot for, you know, what I'm trying to say to you is simply this. That is not anything for the Christian. That is like, are you kidding? That's the next door that we're trying to get through. And because of that, we need to be steadfast, immovable, and abounding in his work because we're laying up treasures in heaven, and that's not a waste of time. I got a message for you. You think paying rent on time or paying your mortgage on time, that's going to go with you into eternity? You're wrong. It's what you do in the Lord that will go with you. And instead of, and the enemy doesn't want you to think this way. The enemy does. He wants you to be afraid. He wants you to be in fear because fear takes away faith. That's why you have to pick up the shield of faith. Notice how all of these messages have coincided. And just incredible. Not even planned. I'm telling you. You pick up the shield of faith. You put down the fiery darts of the enemy. You be steadfast, immovable, and abounding in his work, knowing that you're not wasting time. You're laying up treasures for heaven. And what do you stand in all of this that will get you through every moment? The Lord is with you. It's all you need. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. 70 and one half hour break, then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
The views expressed in the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.